Swahili, you sing in English. Amen. Mwamba wenye imala, kwako nitajificha, maji ha yonadamu, yaliyo toka umu, hunisa fina dhambi, hunifanya mshindi. Kwa kazi zote pia sitimi zishe vya ijapo fanya vidi nikiri mkononi naja msalamani, nilitivunivike ni mnyonge nishike. Let me have thee. Amen. That's a good song. I'm glad to be back again to America, especially being at my home church here, where I was baptized and I joined the church. Since that time, God has been blessing me and blessing my country back home. So really, I'm very happy to see everybody here. Some of you I've not seen since I arrived here, but now they are here. It is a pleasure. And may the good Lord bless you. Well, by your prayers, the church family back home is doing great. And they sent their love to everybody of you. My wife Mary and my children sent their love to you. Everybody really in Tanzania would like to come to America, if possible. But you know, it's a long trip. It's very far and very expensive. Their hope is just one day we're going to meet in heaven. The people all over the world, in Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, that's the only hope we have. And the church is doing great and is growing very fast. Being a pastor of 100 people in Tanzania, and being a pastor of almost 300 people, more than 300 people in Kenya, it is a hard work. It is a hard work, brother. But God is a good God. I could see His mercy and a powerful hand upon me. The work is moving on. Africa now, the light has shined in Africa. That is a great joy. And we are moving now again to West Africa. I don't know, probably we'll be moving to Uganda. And the other part of Africa, in South Africa, Nigeria. I'm ready to go if the Lord will be with me. And thank you for Vestavia Church to allow Pastor Sam to come and encourage us back home. well, he had worked so hard over there. I know some of the things he can't say, but we had really suffered together with the pastor's son. In Kenya, it was tough. The food was so bad, and we survived. Transportation is rough. The road is very rough. I started fearing about his health, but thank the good Lord he made it. I'm used to difficult situation in Africa, but for him I felt sorry. And the first time he came, Nelda called me, said, "Obey, please take care of my husband." I said, "I will, ma'am." And the Lord blessed Pastor Sam. Last time he came alone, he's a very strong man. His faith has increased. Amen. Thank you, dear brothers. I don't want to waste a long time. I would like to go straight to the scripture. I have so much to tell you. How the Lord is blessing us back home in Tanzania. Probably in the future, after 2 years, I have to write a book. It will help you a lot in English and in Swahili. But it is very encouraging. Since you ordained me here, the Lord has blessed us richly back home in Africa. Amen. If you have a Bible, I would like to share my thoughts in the book of Romans, chapter 10. I do remember this scripture. I preached it when I was ordained here. From the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto righteousness of God." Well, I love this scripture. It has been a great help to my people back home. As I've said before, really my heart and my desire was for my Tanzanian people. Amen. For a long time. And my calling is for my African people back home. You know, when your heart is somewhere, you are ready even to die for it. Amen. The Apostle Paul's heart was for his people, Israel. My heart desire was for my people in Tanzania. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Well, this word "saved," when we studied the Bible with Pastor Sam, he gave me the key to unlock the scripture. Everywhere in the scripture you see the word "saved," you have to ask yourself, saved from what? Saved from what? There are many things we have to be saved in this present world. So saved from what? Well, when Elder Tim McCool questioned me, I was sitting here. When Elder Tim McCool asked me, "If anybody in Tanzania come to you and say, 'Obey, I want to be saved,' what would be your answer?" I said, "Brother Tim, I'll ask them, saved from what?" Everybody busted into Everybody laughed. But it was very true. I faced the same thing. Many people in Tanzania will come to me, brother, I want to be saved and accept Jesus and join the church. I say, do you know what you are saying? You want to be saved from what? Are you talking of saved being eternal salvation or time salvation? They said, I don't know, but I want to be saved. I say, dear brother, listen. Don't confuse things now. If you are talking of eternal salvation, you have nothing to do about it. Amen. Jesus took care of that. But you have many things you have to be saved in this present world. Amen. Yes, sir. So saved from what? I think really the Apostle Paul knew that his people, the children of Israel, were ignorant. They needed to be saved from ignorant. Amen. Well, I like this scripture. It said, my brethren, my heart's desire and a prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, we have to pray for our brethren. The desire of Brother Apostle Paul was the first thing, prayer. Prayer works. I trust in prayer. He was praying for his brethren to God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. Well, the first thing I do probably every day, three times in Tanzania, is to pray for my people. And through prayer, I have seen God's hand opening many doors. Dear brothers and sisters, don't forget to pray. You can send prayer, you can pray here in America, and God answers prayer in Africa. There was a time I was in a very tough situation. Malaria really attacked me. My body became weak. But your prayer was very important. Without knowing what I was going through, and God was able to bless me to continue with the ministry. So the Apostle Paul didn't cease to pray to God for Israel, that they might be saved. These people were needed to be saved from ignorance. Let me tell you, dear brothers and sisters, ignorant is a bad thing. It will put you in many bondages. When you are ignorant of something, it means you don't know it at all. You will get lost. Well, when I got in the international airport in Atlanta, it's a very big airport. I got lost. And I came to realize I was ignorant. I needed to be saved too. You don't know where your luggage is. That is ignorant. And my ticket shows where my luggage was. But I was ignorant. Ignorant is a bad thing. Well, many people in Africa are ignorant about the truth. So they are just like blind. You know, when you can't see, you can be taken to somewhere where you don't like to be. Ignorant is a bad thing. Ignorance is a bad thing. I hate it. I don't like it. Now, if you are spiritual, if you have spiritual ignorance, is the West. This dear brother of children of Israel were ignorant. Now here they are about to establish their own righteousness. Well, I know for sure it had never worked. Only Jesus did it for you and for me. Back home, many people are still keeping the law, trying to work so hard on their own way to heaven. That is a struggle. When you are trying to do something and you are sure it won't work, it gives a headache and a burden in your heart. It is tough. You work on your way to heaven as a human being, it is impossible. Only Jesus was able to keep the law and to accomplish it, and God was pleased. Amen. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. A zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I came to realize many people here, even in America, have a zeal of God. But dear brothers and sisters, a zeal without the knowledge, it is still tough. It is difficult. So we need a zeal of God plus knowledge of the Word. Amen. That works very well. So my work now back home is to teach people to have the zeal plus the knowledge of the Word of God. It works great. The children of Israel just have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. The knowledge of the Word of the truth is very important. The knowledge in the Word of God is very crucial. So we need the zeal of God plus the knowledge. Well, I have a deacon in my church. We have just ordained him recently this July. He has been a great help for the work over there. When I'm in Kenya or right now I'm here, he takes care of the church family, preaching. He's exercising. He's doing great. His name is Brother Kenny. And also he's a good driver in town. He grew up in Dar es Salaam, so he's a town boy, real town boy. But he is from Pentecostal Church. He has been there for many years. And he came to realize he couldn't keep the law. He tried so hard. Then when I met him for the first time, well, I didn't know he will join the church. So he's a good driver, and he found a house to stay for me. Then from that point when I met with him, I talked about salvation is a gift from God. You can't pay for it. It is impossible to work on it. It is a gift, and it is a free gift. Amen. Well, it caught his mind. Then we started studying the Bible together. Since that time when he believed this true gospel, he had never waved back. Amen. I've been attending the church with him, teaching him. This is my third year. He said, "Obey." Now I have an assurance and a great hope of this doctrine. I said, "Brother Kenny, this is the only doctrine you will feel joy and hope on the way to heaven. that Jesus accomplished it. Amen. Eternal salvation is a gift. Jesus did it for you, and did it for me, and no man can take it away. Amen. Ignorance is a bad thing. It confused me for many years. Now I know. Now I know, and I'm sure, I'm glad that Jesus saved me from the law, from the bondage of the law. I tried to keep the law. It is difficult. Well, my wife Mary is enjoying the grace of God. That is the only hope for her life. The grace of God. It is just by the grace of God. Well, we have this dear beautiful lady. She's originally from Ethiopia. You know, Ethiopia is in North Africa. She's very strange in our congregation. Even if you come in our congregation, she looks different because of her color and her hair. You know, the people in Ethiopia are different from Tanzanian people. But she joined the church almost 3 years ago, and she has been a great blessing to our church over there. Well, we normally take time and discuss, study the Bible together. She has learned a lot of different, the difference where she was attending before, and now she had never ever missed a church service every Sunday. And she is rejoicing in it. Amen. And the Lord has been blessing her with her family greatly. Brothers and sisters, Primitive Baptist Church has been a great blessing to many people in Africa. Don't see yourself that we are very few. We have friends and many God's children back home. They love you and they rejoice that when I came to know this truth and brought it back home, it was a great wisdom and God honored that. Well, I love America. America is very beautiful. Many people who came in this country from Tanzania and Kenya, really they don't want to go back home. But I did. I thank the good Lord who gave me strength and opened the door for me to join the church and take this truth back home. I didn't know that it would be a great work and a blessed work back home in Africa. Well, I assure you, I'm glad I obeyed God's call. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord blessed me to go back home. Now I can see and I rejoice in it. Many people now, ignorance is almost gone. They are able to see the truth. They are able to walk in the Word of God. And the church is growing now and then. That makes me happy. That makes me peace and joy in my heart. That our people back home in Africa right now are enjoying the true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, you may not know how the bondage of the law is heavier. Probably most of you grew up in a primitive Baptist church, so you don't know the difference. But for everybody who one time or another has been somewhere keeping the law, you will tell me. You establish your own righteousness. You are trying to go to heaven, keep the law. It is difficult and it is impossible. So the hope of eternal life, if you keep the law, you will find out that you cannot make it. For these children of Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and here now they are going to establish something of their own righteousness, and God sees it, he said, no way, you can't make it unless Jesus did it for you. Can you say amen to that? I know for sure most of the children of Israel, even today, they are God's people. Those are God's people. Many of them, they trust in God. But most of them, they don't trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are still waiting for their Messiah up to this very moment. Well, when I was at the college in South Africa, we had a Jew from Israel. We were studying together in the college. I said, brother, what is your belief in Jesus? He said, obey, we are waiting for our own Messiah. This Jesus you believe in, we don't believe in him. He was so poor, the way he came into this world, so we think he's just a human being like anybody. I said, brother, that is ignorant. So most of the Jews up to this very moment, they are keeping the law of Moses. And most of them, they were not able to go to Canaan, to the promised land, because they didn't keep the law on the desert. They worshipped false God. And God was angry about them. Thank the good Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ, who came unto this world. He knew our weakness. We can't keep the law. And he kept it for us perfectly. He died on the cross. He paid the price of my sins and your sins forever. Now we can rejoice in him. I'm so thankful. I always, when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Jesus. You took my body. I couldn't make it by my own effort to heaven. I know that is impossible. Jesus did it for you. And for me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That is the only hope we have in Christ. God is a good God. He sent his son Jesus. Amen. And Jesus was very obedient to the point of death. Amen. He died a terrible, terrible, terrible death on Calvary. And yet he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they are doing. And finally he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. When the work is finished, don't add it anything unto it. When the work is finished, why you want to add it something on it?
Jesus said it is finished. Amen. If it was not, he couldn't say it. I trust his holy word. When he says it is finished, I do believe the finished work of the redemption of God's people was finished. And God was pleased with it. I can rejoice in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. I have a rest in him. I can rejoice in him. This is the true gospel of our Lord and Savior, that Jesus finished the work. Now you are going to heaven because of his righteousness in your life. Amen. Not on your own righteousness. Well, in my life, I've never seen anybody, bishops or preacher, whatever, pope, whose righteousness is 100%. No one. Only Jesus. I'm glad he did it for me and for you. And he blesses us with the true gospel. This is a great treasure we have. But dear brothers and sisters, we have to be saved in many ways, many things we need to be saved from in this present world. American people need to be saved in many things in this present world we are living right now. There is a lot of false doctrine going on in this present world. We need to be saved from. There is ignorance back home in Africa. People need to be saved from ignorance. People need to be saved from keeping the law. People need to be saved from being disobedient to God's church. Amen. I wish I could save some of you here. We need to be saved in many things. This present world, we face a lot of things, dear brothers and sisters. But for your eternal salvation, I'm glad Jesus did it for you. You don't need to do anything. Well, many people back home said, "Obey, I really love God and I want to go to heaven when I die." He said, "Tell me, what really I need to do? How can I have eternal salvation, eternal life?" I always answer them, "Nothing." You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. It's like a rich king ruler asking Jesus, "What shall I do to be saved?" Jesus looked at him. Nothing to do. Even if you have something to do, I don't think you can make it, because we are human beings. We have a lot of weakness. And God knew that we can't make it by our own. Only Jesus could do it. It's a gift from God. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't do anything to please him that God will give you eternal life. It is a gift. That is a great truth and hope in it. Dear brothers, we need to be saved from many things in this present world. In closing, if you are here, you have not joined the church, let me advise you. It is a good thing to join the Lord's church and be baptized and be faithful to the church is a good thing. Since I joined the church and I was baptized here, I'm telling you, I have experienced many blessings. If you are here, the door is open. If you want to join the church, you are warmly welcome.
The day I stepped into through that door, and I heard the singing and the preachings, it was great. It was wonderful. Now, the first week, they announced, if you are here, you want to join the church, brother, you are welcome. The devil whispered in my ear, said, obey, wait. The second week, I said, no, it is too early. The devil said, it is too early. Can you wait a moment? The third week, the devil said, obey, be careful now. You are a stranger in this church. Can you wait? The fourth week, I said, devil, get out from me. You better leave me alone. I want to join the church. I walked up to this friend. Dear brothers and sisters, since then, it has been a great joy to join the Primitive Baptist Church. I didn't know the Lord has blessed us in Africa because of the little obedient to God's voice. If you are here, you are not baptized, please welcome, the door is open. We'll be singing a good song. I will be glad to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the good Lord bless you. Thank you for good listening. Amen.
Amen. Well, that was a wonderful message this morning from Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. I've heard Brother Obey preach a little in Africa in Swahili. Amen. I didn't understand what he was saying, but I would say that the difference in Brother Obey preaching in English and Swahili would be this. In English, he preaches about 20 miles an hour. In Swahili, he preaches about 80 miles an hour. You know, you have to process all that in your mind and from Swahili to English. I'd love to hear him preach in Swahili and really understand it. But I'm so thankful that he knows our language and is blessed to preach the gospel to us in this language. He mentioned his wife, Mary. I wish all of you could meet her. She's a beautiful woman. Very humble Christian woman. She teaches school there in Dar es Salaam. And she's a woman of faith. And when I first met Sister Mary, we talked about Brother Obey being gone for 7 years and in his search for the truth. And she said to me, she said, Pastor, I sometimes thought Obey will never come back from America. And when I talked to Brother Obey the other day, I found out he was afraid she wouldn't wait on him. But she was a woman of true faith. He did get to go back every year for about a month in the summer. Was able to send them a little money to help. But he was on a long journey searching for the truth. And his wife and children were waiting patiently on him. And they have been richly blessed in their life of faith. God has blessed them to know the truth and provided material things for them that they had never had before. Talking about Brother Obey's faith, he preached I guess it was Saturday morning. He preached on the text, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thine own understanding. It was a wonderful message on living by faith. And I believe he's done that. I believe he is an example of somebody who has trusted in God and lived by faith. Last night we were on our way home, and when you get real tired and it's dark, it can affect your faith a little. And we got to talking about the work in Kenya, and he said, "Pastor, I really worry about that work in Kenya at times." And I said, "Well, Brother Obey, we're just going to have to trust in the Lord." And he said, "Thank you, Pastor, for preaching that back to me." You know, it's easy to get up and preach these things, but it's another thing to live it day by day. But our brother's faith has encouraged my faith and strengthened my faith. And I hope it has had that effect on you. And one other word I want to say before we sing, "It Is Finished." A lot of you helped in our effort to provide sewing machines for the church there in Tanzania. They were able to buy 23 machines. Some of our sisters here in the church shopped around at Walmart and other places looking for a good bargain. And finally, a brother out in Oklahoma who owns a sewing machine shop suggested that we just get Brother Obey to shop in Tanzania. And he was able to find a machine that operates on electricity, but if the electricity is off, which it is a lot, they have a foot pedal and they can still sew. And the women in the church there are learning to sew. And Brother Paul Blair went with me back in July, and he ordered a suit. The tailor that's teaching them took his measurements, and Brother Obey showed me the suit. We want to get that out and show it to y'all during lunch today, show you the quality of work they're capable of doing. And it'll be a great means of them providing some money to help them in their daily living. You know, we were going on that old principle, you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. You teach him how to fish, he can eat for a lifetime. And so I just want you all to see the results of that sewing machine project. The Lord is good, and we praise Him today. Let's turn to number 347. And as Brother Bay has said, the doors of Vestavia Church are wide open for the reception of those who love the Lord and believe that Jesus Christ kept the law for you and saved you by His grace and mercy. And as he said, if you want him to baptize you, we can arrange that. He'll be back here, his last appointment. And so that would be wonderful indeed. Let's stand together, and we'll sing the first verse as we give the opportunity for members, and then we'll have Brother Obey to come and stand here, and we'll let brotherly love continue. 347. Brother Gray, would you pitch that? Number 347, "It Is Finished." praise than when we begun. I want us to sing one verse of when we all get to heaven, and I don't know that number. Does anybody? That was the old number. Number 428. Brother Obey mentioned that his wife and the people there would love to come to America and meet you all, but we know that probably won't ever happen in this world. But someday when we all get to heaven, we'll see each other and have eternity to get acquainted with each other and worship the Lord. I want us to sing this song. Number 428, the first verse. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day rejoicing that will fail when we all say Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let's sing the second verse. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will spread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will fail. Shout the victory. What a day that'll be when God's children from all countries and nations and languages gather in heaven in a glorified body. And what a day that will be. What a blessing it is in this world to know about it and rejoice in it. Thinking about Brother Obey, he'll be preaching in 7 states while he's here, the Lord being our helper. And I hope you will be praying for him every day as he travels, that he'll have liberty and physical strength to preach the gospel. He saved his people. He... Yes, sir. We believe he finished his work. Anything else we need to mention? We might announce the reception for Brother Roy Coker and his wife this afternoon from 2 to 4 at Centerport Church. They'll be celebrating 60 years of marriage together. And I know they'd appreciate you coming by to be with them if you possibly can. Brother Obey and I hope to go over to be with them on our way up to Flint Church tonight at 5:30. If nothing else, let's join together for our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow at this time to thank you for your wonderful blessings upon us here at Vestavia this morning as we've gathered to worship. We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in the singing and praying and preaching and in the fellowship. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us. Now we pray that you will dismiss us in your love and keep us all safe as we travel. We ask a very special blessing of the Holy Spirit to anoint Brother Obey as he preaches the gospel. And may his ministry and his experience cause all of us to have a deeper appreciation for the truth and for the cause of Christ here in America. Help us not to be lukewarm. Help us not to take it for granted. Help us to be full of zeal as well as knowledge. Now we pray, Father, that you will dismiss us in your love. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.